One of the greatest moments in drag is also one of the shittiest. In the movie Pink Flamingos, Divine bent over and ate dog poop that just plopped out of her dog's ass. Build 100 bridges and nobody calls you an engineer, but eat dog shit once, and for the rest of your life, you're known as the filthiest person alive.
Today we're joined by Chicago drag queen Say Kavi, who in a recent music video for her song Food Horny slurps up a sour grape slurpee right off the dirty sidewalk. Atta girl! Listen as Kavi shares with us her dreams of opening a drag history museum and her scary, terrifying obsession with clowns.
Plus, a middle-aged man finds out he's wrongly featured as a dead gay teenager in a documentary about gay teens who die by suicide.
A Tinder date ends in a very shitty way.
And Mexico breaks the world record for making the largest bowl of guacamole. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
So you went to this White Castle before you came over, or is there one over by you?
Yeah, the one over here.
Is that the only one in the Chicago area?
No, there's more. I don't know where the others are. I just Ubered to that one and then walked.
Oh, from Park Ridge?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Nice. And then she went, ooh, it's so meaty. Do you like the sliders or the chicken
finger holes? I get the crispy chicken breast sliders with cheese.
Because you're watching your, you know, figure and health conscious.
Yeah, so I get the crispy fried ones.
Yeah. And the pickles count as a vegetable.
True.
And their onion rings are kind of weird, aren't they? Aren't they like the onion rings are minced and then put back together or something?
Is that true?
I think so. I feel like they're not like whole rings.
Huh.
Yeah. Hey guys, our guest today calls herself a body positive art ho. She's a hungry girl who got our attention for her she-licious music video, Food Horny, where she pays tribute to the legendary drag queen Divine by bending over and eating off the dirty, dirty sidewalk. A grape-flavored Slurpee.
Mm-hmm. Sour grape.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to Feast of Fun. Say Kavi.
Thank you.
Do I pronounce your name? It's like c'est la vie, but say Kavi.
Yeah, say Kavi.
You have French heritage? Or just like fancy things?
I just like French stuff. It's very pretentious.
French toast, French fries, French salad dressing.
And it's very much in the drag tradition to Frenchify things.
Oh, definitely.
Mm. I love your video, and really, I love a girl who's willing to do something really outrageous to get some attention. Now, you remember, you obviously saw Pink Flamingos, where Divine, end of the film, in a single take. And this was like, I guess John Waters was like the one with the idea, and he was like trying to sell his friend Divine to do this for the film, because he was like, you will be legendary, you will be known forever,
legendary.
Right?
Yeah.
And so they were just followed this dog around for like a whole day. The dog was getting poo shy in front of the camera. And so finally they're like, okay, this is your chance, eat that shit. And Divine's like, are you sure you're allowed to do this? And so she picked up the poo and just kind of stuck it in her mouth and did the shit eating grin.
She ate it and swallowed it.
She didn't swallow it. And then, of course, she had, you know, buyer's remorse, or, you know, shit eater's remorse.
Clothes.
So she called the hospital and be like, hello, yes, my retarded son ate some dog feces, and I just want to know, is it safe?
And they're like, don't worry about it, but if he gets sick, please come in.
Yeah, I guess
she ended up getting parvovirus from it.
Parvo?
Did she?
Yeah, I'm just kidding.
Oh. No, I think she just got nervous about it, but I don't think anything bad happened to her. But, you know, just for the full disclosure on the show, don't eat dog shit. Now, but you got you were pretty courageous, right? That sidewalk where you ate the Slurpee off of, you didn't wash it beforehand.
No.
A dog could have shed on it.
Oh, definitely. I'm sure some real nasty stuff has gone down on that sidewalk.
I just ran into a local drag queen of Velicity on the street recently, and she was walking a dog. Now, she wasn't in drag, and I walked up upon her as the dog was shitting. I'm like, are you going to eat that? And she looked at me like I was like, I just totally insulted. insulted her. She was not having it, you know. But of course, you know, she's a big girl too, and some people feel like you're judging them for like their food and stuff like that. But I was obviously making a reference to Divine. Obviously. But you know, some people when you question them about eating feces and stuff like that, they take it very personally.
Why?
I don't know. You know, I remember there's this news article that came around a few years ago called there was this idea of this Jenkum where people were taking poop and urine
and pee
and then putting it into a jar and then fermenting it. And then they were huffing it to get high. And it was really? A total fake news. It was called Jenkum. And then somebody, and I was saying it's garbage. You know, it's not true. It's not true. And then this person is like, how do you know? Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I'll tell you what. Why don't you go poop in a jar and then pee in a jar, let it ferment, and then start huffing it, and you report back to me. And they were incensed that I would tell them to go do that. And I'm just kind of like, you came to me
and asked me about it.
I have no, I probably lost that listener forever.
Oh,
just for the record, do not Google scat-chat.com unless you want to have nightmares.
Oh my gosh.
Literally the first image is just like, oh my God, please no. Horrors and horrors, you know, it's like.
What's so taboo?
It's taboo. It's horrifying and stuff. But so Kevy, you were, you know, you were making this food. Tell us about the whole story behind Food Horny, this video that you made. You're a big fan of going to like fast food places. Mm-hmm. That's part of the reason you dress up in drag is so you can eat afterwards. Right?
Exactly. Yeah. Usually after a show, when I'm like too drunk to walk or whatever, I'll have my drag sister Estelle Shambles drive me home.
Yeah.
And usually I'll be like, girl, we need to get some White Castle.
Got your grub on.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like Harold and Kumar, but in drag.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. So
you're stoned out of your mind. You're hungry. You're thirsty.
So hungry.
It's time to get some sliders.
Right. So I'm like, we need to go to White Castle. And this one time she was like, no. We're just going to go home.
Yeah.
And so the entire car ride home, drunk me was like, I'm so hungry right now. I'm so hungry. I need to eat something. I want White Castle. I want that. I want Domino's and Panda and all of that.
Yeah. Yeah. And Panda Express closes. I'm a big fan of Panda. And it closes at like 9 o'clock or some horrible time. It should be 24 hours a day, in my opinion.
Yeah. So we were on our way home and then suddenly in my head, I was like, I'm not hungry. I'm food horny.
Yeah.
You got to feed the beast.
Exactly.
People got to eat.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mentioned that to Estelle and she was like, girl, you need to make that into a song. I was like, okay.
And food history horny. Was made.
Exactly.
And so kind of like the way Britney Spears collaborated with will.i.am in the song Scream and Shout. I guess there's rumors that it's not really her voice in the beginning of the video, and to legally make it hers, she called will.i.am on the phone and said, it's Britney, bitch. And that's actually her only voice in the video, and then she's just lip syncing somebody else's voice who's imitating Britney Spears.
Wow. Well, she is one of the best lip syncers.
Yeah, she is. Have you seen her show in Las Vegas? It's amazing.
No, I haven't seen it yet.
It's to die for. So you were at White Castle and your music producer said, hey, why don't you just record some sounds of you just chomping on those burgers?
Yeah. So I reached out to the producer, Ariel Zatina, who worked with Imp Queen on her Magenta Agenda EP. And I was like, I have this idea for a song. It's called Food Horny. You want to do it? And she was like, sure.
But bring back, you know, an 8-pack while you're at it.
Yes. So then I went to White Castle the next time I was really drunk after a show and just pulled out my iPhone memo recorder thing and just recorded myself eating and moaning and getting really into it.
For those who haven't heard the song yet, what did the song sound like?
Oh, fuck yeah.
You're making me horny now or hungry.
You know, Foster and I live like less. What is that? That White Castle is less than a half mile from our house. Yeah. Since how often have we eaten at that White Castle since we've lived in this neighborhood for the past almost 20 years?
Once.
Yeah.
Girl.
I just can't do it.
Why not?
And I got so sick the next day.
Sliders, like, I had White Castle like 20 some years ago, and it was just like, my digestive tract was like, you can't eat this.
Oh my gosh, White Castle is bae though. Oh my gosh, I love White Castle.
I'd rather just cook a burger myself.
I'll make you a slider, you know. All you gotta do is just take a regular burger and cut it in half.
Mm-hmm. But White Castle though.
Yeah, like, steam it, steam buns.
So you have an emotional attachment to the brand.
I do, it sort of runs in the family.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, my grandmother, when she was in labor on her way to the hospital to give birth, she insisted that the driver pull over at White Castle to get some sliders before they got to the hospital.
Is that your mom or your aunt?
My aunt.
Okay. Yeah. And so what was your grandmother eating when your mother was born?
You know, that I don't know. Probably same
usually
thing.
I think they tell you not to really eat much before you go into labor, right?
Because you're going
to
poop while you're pooping out the baby.
Yeah, and I wouldn't expect someone to be feeling that hungry when something's trying to crawl out of them. But yeah, she was like, no, I need White Castle right now before I push this child out of me.
And so how did you negotiate, like, the scene? The big scene in Food Horny is that you are walking on the sidewalk and kind of like Divine, you see somebody had spilt their grape Slurpee on the sidewalk and you're like, don't want to waste that. So you get on all fours and...
Yes.
And so how was that negotiated? Like, you were filming that with a friend, I guess. And you guys were like, did you set out to do this or was somebody else's idea?
Yeah, no, that the Divine homage was part of the idea from the beginning.
From the get go, yeah.
Right. So for the scene, I basically started at 7-Eleven, got a Slurpee, and then walked around.
And you drank most of it first because you didn't want to waste it.
Exactly. So I filmed myself drinking the entire thing, went back and refilled it.
You got another one.
Yeah.
Oh, did they have free refills?
No.
Well.
But you did it anyways. You paid the clerk a dollar, so they bribed them.
Yeah, so I got a refill and then went over to Roscoe and Halsted over there at Beatnik's.
Yeah.
And just drop the Slurpee.
And then should I be doing this? I'm going to get sick off the You know, your mom told you as a kid, don't eat anything you fell on the sidewalk.
Right. Well, I knew it was going to be disgusting and awful. So I was like, I'll just get it over with. I mean, if Divine survived, I'll probably be okay.
You don't know. You don't know what kind of shit there's on that sidewalk.
I like how you Tyler Perry'd Divine's name. Divine. Medeus.
Like,
who's that? Divine. Well, could you taste the sidewalk when you licked it up?
No, it was just the very sour grape.
I would imagine that citric acid that's in that would probably kill a lot of the bacteria that's there.
Hopefully.
Hopefully.
Yeah. But you survived.
Yeah,
I'm here. Sitting with us now.
Yeah.
Did you feel any ill effects?
I don't think so.
Well, why are we acting so... Why are we all brand new? We know... What is it? The 3-second rule? If food falls on the floor in a restaurant... It's fine and legal to pick it up and serve it to people.
Well, that's not really the legality of it, too. The science behind the 3-second rule or the 5-second rule, some people say, it doesn't really matter because it's like once it makes contact, that's when the contact is made.
Yep.
Now, most of the time, whatever is on the floor is not going to make you sick. Or the other thing, too, is like, are you going to eat it right away? Or are you going to put it back, like, in the container with something? Because what happens with bacteria, you get some bacteria on it, whether it's salmonella. If you eat it right away, you're probably going to be fine. But it's when you let it sit there, and then that bacteria grows and becomes more. And then that's when the problem happens with food safety.
Come on, food safety.
It's very, you know, it's all about time with food safety.
Kevi, you're very cheerful, sweet queen, you're dedicating your Instagram this week to dressing up as a clown because you're excited for the revival of the movie It, where it stars an evil clown that terrorizes children in a small town.
Oh my gosh, I am so excited for this movie. I mean, I love Stephen King and his films are so great. I didn't really care for the original It all that much, though. But that's because
you weren't even born when the original came out, right?
I wasn't alive then.
So you must have, what, did you catch up with it on, like, DVD or something?
Yeah,
or
I got the DVD, and since it's a 2-part thing, it was a double-sided disc, but nobody told me that. So I only watched the first half and was like, wow, that was a really disappointing film.
So you didn't see the ending? The second half?
Yeah, not till like a couple years later.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And then I was like, okay.
But did you like that film? I don't, you know, what's your opinion on it? After you've seen
the original film, man.
It was, I like the ideas. Mm-hmm. I think the new film is going to execute it a lot better.
Hopefully. Well, we'll see if that's going to happen or not. You know, I think my original problem with the original film is just like, I didn't really feel it was that scary. And then there was a lot of things that were happening in it that you're like, why is this even happening? Like Annette O'Toole, for whatever reason, like they're all sleeping with her, right? Like they all fuck her.
People don't know what you're talking about.
So there's this gang of kids, right? Mm-hmm. And as children, one of them, they're terrorized by this clown. And I feel like one of them was snatched away or something. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But as adults, they're all like, oh my God, we all have to come back because like this clown is back, you know, and they're adults. And so it's like all these boys and then the one lone girl. And it seems like she's like, you know, they're all having her turn with her or something. It's weird.
So is Pennywise the clown kind of similar character to Freddy Krueger in Nightmare in Elm Street?
Very much so in that sense.
So
yes.
It's a tortured soul, yes. Who's tormenting children. No,
I don't want to give it away, but it's an evil force of some kind or another.
It's and Trump.
May be like a monster, basically.
Oh, right.
That is projected as a clown to these kids.
Well, yes. Killer clowns from outer space, they were actual aliens, yes, that happened to look like clowns. Mm-hmm.
True. And I think this is kind of sort of a similar thing.
In some sense, because like that, the whatever the monster is could be of an alien entity. I'm not really 100%. I don't want to give it away because you know.
Oh my God! You almost spoiled the film. Jeez. Yeah.
And then just every 27 mm-hmm. years, this Pennywise monster returns to mm-hmm. the town to kidnap children.
What's interesting about actual clowns, you know, people who dress up as clowns to circuses or birthday parties, is that they tend to be very conservative or very religious. Really? There's a World Clown Organization. We talked about this on yesterday's podcast, but they're mad at Stephen King for the movie It. Really? And they're saying, like, listen, John Wayne Gacy ruined it for most of us. Killer clowns from outer mm-hmm. space. Anytime there's a clown in a movie, it's mm-hmm. usually a monster. It's a horror, mm-hmm, you know? And clowns are, for the most part, you know, with the exception of you and John Wayne Gacy.
Yes.
Bianca Del Rio, Lady Bunny.
Most drag queens. Because drag is technically a form of clowning, isn't it?
To some it is, isn't. Yeah. You know, it's a hotly debated thing. Mm-hmm. But it's certainly, you know, it's like, why do we got to be the bad guys? We're good Christians. We take off our clown shoes and pray to God at night. And, mm-hmm. You know, why be hating on us?
Well, the senior psychology instructor at Pennsylvania State University's Beaver Campus, Kevin Bennett, says in an article they interviewed him about why people are so scared of clowns. Why are we freaked out about them? He says the term uncanny valley refers to the idea that the closer an animal or robot gets to looking like a human, the more comfortable we are with that creature. And then clowns sometimes fall into that uncanny valley. So close to being human, but just a shade off. That, from the psychology of facial recognition standpoint, is what makes them creepy. So there's something about it that just kind of like sets something off in our brain.
Well, those facial recognizing algorithms mm-hmm. that Facebook uses or photo apps do to identify your mother, your brother, or sister. Mm-hmm. And, you know, here on Feast of Fun, we work with a lot of drag queens, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And so we're always posting their pictures on social media. Yeah, you just heard me. And they all want to tag them Lady Bunny. Mm-hmm. And I think that's Lady Bunny, you know, working with the Russians to hack her way into having a bigger career mm-hmm. than she has. It's just, you know, you see it, you post a picture of a drag queen on the internet and it automatically gets tagged Lady Bunny. And people should be like, why is that such a bad thing?
Well, like one of your Instagram followers, Magnite, commented when you first posted on your clown thing. She goes, I regret to inform you that I will have to unfollow you as my phobia cannot handle a clown a day. I will be back after that movie comes out.
Damn.
Are mm-hmm. people going to be freaking out over clowns over this whole next week?
It's Kant-she-versal, for sure.
Oh, yeah. People are so many people have messaged me like, please stop doing this clown week thing. We can't take it.
Well, I guess also too, like on the history of clowning, because I guess clowns kind of became a big thing like the 1800s after an Italian clown, Grimaldi, kind of made it big. And I guess he had a bit of a tragic life. But they never really became like things for like kids parties until much later on. And then for whatever reason, they just like, hey, let's have a clown for the kids party to entertain the kids.
Clowns were part of the circus or part of the theater, which was stuff for adults. It was not associated with children's culture.
Yeah.
And then Bozo came along.
Like, you know, like kids didn't even really have a culture back in the day. It wasn't until like Victorians really started to think about, hey, you know, children are kind of their own separate entity. Maybe we shouldn't have them working in factories all day. Maybe they deserve to run outside and play.
And then there was Bozo the Clown.
Hey, Bozo.
Bozo's a thing from Chicago. WGN created Bozo the Clown as to sort of fill their daytime programming slot. And a lot of these were actors and entertainers from different TV shows that were coming together. And I think in the late 70s and 80s, there was a Bozo the Clown cartoon.
Yep.
The actor who actually played Bozo the Clown passed away, you know, a long time ago, but more recently, the actor who plays him allegedly is gay.
Well, he's always in the gay pride parade, and I think we interviewed him. You interviewed him, and I think he did kind of come out.
Yeah. So the actor who plays, and unfortunately, the video where we interviewed Bozo the Clown was associated with a website, Outworld.tv, that went out of business and deleted all the videos that we made with them. Alongside with it, sadly. And so, but yeah, Bozo the Clown at one point in time in an interview with me outed himself, or the actor who played Bozo the Clown.
Awesome.
So, but I don't want to give too many details about it because I'm not sure if he's still playing Bozo or not. I guess they kind of little want to keep that a little bit vague, you know, like Bozo's kind of like Santa Claus for WGN. They, anybody sort of, you know, one passes on, they just find another kind of slightly effeminate, loud, large guy to play him. Sort of like you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And then also, I think Bozo, because it was so big in Chicago, they started doing other local Bozos around the country.
So it was like Santa Claus in that
was
sense.
Was it? But that was the superstation, so other places would get the Bozo. And I want to say it was syndicated. I feel like Bozo Weave was even in my hometown, we would watch it.
Well, but it was filmed in Chicago.
Yes.
And they would
syndicate it.
I remember as a kid, you know, Bozo's grand prize game was 12 buckets and ping pong balls. And of course, like, they had some really shitty prizes. Like, you stood at the foot of the buckets, right? And the first one was like, you know, Tootsie Rolls. And as you went down the buckets, initially they had 10 buckets and they had to extend it to 12 because some kids like would practice. And I know we would do this. We would get ping pong balls and practice throwing them into waste cans in case the day ever happened that two Puerto Rican kids, me and my sister, would ever wind up in Chicago and be on the Bozo show.
Oh, because you'd always get those things like not available in Alaska, Hawaii, or Puerto Rico, right?
Yep.
And you'd be like, oh,
Mom, it sucks to live in Puerto Rico. Boo. And so, yeah. And one day a little boy got all the way to bucket number 12, and it
he
was
a bike, right?
A bike and $100.
Oh my god!
And it was throwing a ping pong ball.
Well, because he in succession threw a ping pong ball 1, 2, 3, you know, 12 times with buckets that were further and further away. So this is like throwing a bucket, you know, I would say maybe like 15 feet away from you into a trash can where it's likely to, you know, bounce out.
Oh.
And they had confetti cannons. We had kids never seen confetti. You know, it's like when someone wins American Idol, right? It's the whole room goes crazy. And, you know, as kids, and even the kids who were watching in the studio, like, everybody reacted, and they were like, holy shit, this never happens, you know? So we were, like, calling our friends and like, did you watch Bozo Show? I did. Oh, my God. That was amazing.
The things that get you excited as a child.
Kid. Did you see he won a bike and $100? Do you know how much candy you can buy with $100? Shit.
Oh, all of it.
No. So how long is Clown Week for you? Is it going to end of the week? Or you? It sounds like every day is Clown Week for you.
Well, a little bit. I mean, right now I'm planning to end it on the 8th, but I also have a few more clowns I'd like to squeeze in, so I might extend it.
Now, when you're not a shapeshifter, as James Mansfield likes to say, creature of the night. You're going to school to study sort of the archival sciences, right? You're mm-hmm. interested in library science and curatorial stuff and museum work.
Yeah, museum and exhibition studies.
And so you have you been to Baraboo, Wisconsin to look at the clown museum up there?
No, I hadn't.
It's a circus museum, yeah.
But they have a clown little division, stuff like that. But, I would recommend that. But your dream is to become work for a drag museum.
Yeah, my goal when I graduate would be to acquire the funding to be able to open up a drag museum in Chicago.
That'd be nice.
Right.
You could get the counter for Cooking with Drag Queens, and people go, look at this great counter. This is where Katya did the splits.
This is where Vixen duck walked.
This is where Sharon Needles
did cocaine.
She did.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That would be so
This
cool,
is where
though.
Lady Bunny basically almost puked when we showed her a pick. Was it a strawberry shortcut with the bump? She wouldn't eat it.
She wouldn't eat it.
Yeah. It was basically a donut with ice cream, strawberry jam, mm-hmm. and whipped cream and cherry 7-Up mm-hmm. poured on top.
That sounds delicious.
It wasn't so bad, right?
We took the shortcut. The strawberry shortcut.
Why wouldn't she eat that?
Because it brought up too many memories from all those years ago when she started the original strawberry shortcut.
I think part of it is because she thinks it's disgusting, is what she said. Girl. And because she, I know it sounds crazy, but she does watch what she eats. Mm-hmm. And so she wanted us to make a vegetable stew.
Mm-hmm.
I know you're like, what? Actually, that vegetable stew
vegetable
is great
stew is
with
very
eggs.
Good, and I still make it from time to time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And
so Cooking with Drag Queens Season 3, the Kickstarter is underway. Go to cookingwithdragqueens.com and make a donation. All donation levels gain access to clips and videos as we post them in the coming weeks. It's a 40-day campaign, and so every week we have new goodies available exclusively to the people who donate to this Kickstarter. We're asking for $20,000 to continue the series. If we get $2,000 above the $20,000, we're going to launch a cooking drag queen competition.
Ooh.
Where the queens battle each other to decorate and make extravagant desserts and meals, and they will be judged harshly and unfairly by celebrity cooking TV show judges. Mm-hmm. From I'm not going to say the brand names of the TV mm-hmm. shows, but you're very familiar with who these people are.
You know who these folks are.
I want to do it,
and they said they want to be in it.
So we got them at least verbally committed if we do it. So the reason that we need more money to do the competition is because it would require two camera crews. And it would require a bigger space, studio to be able to film two queens alongside each other cooking. And so Mark and I, it's kind of like the Great British Bake Off, you know? They have those two lesbians kind of cheering them on. We're going to be the nice guys.
Yeah,
we're going to be the loving people. So one of the queens gets Mark, and one of them gets me. So they
and mine will win.
They're going to flip heads, and the one that loses gets Mark.
Oh, and then she'll win because everybody knows.
I don't know about it. I think I'd be better. I'm a better coach than you are.
I don't know. I think I could probably help this person far in life.
You don't want them to be like in the series, like, oh, I don't want to get Fausto.
I think we'll see.
Because I'm a better
sure
at certain
really
things,
yes.
You know? So the queens can decide.
You're really good at caramelizing onions, I have to say.
You're really terrible at caramelizing onions. You absolutely have no idea how to cook onions.
That's not true. I can do it. I hate taking the time to do it.
All it takes is just 4 more seconds to cut the onions slightly smaller. Mark chops the onions, I'm not kidding, the size of postage stamps.
That is so
And then
true.
He doesn't spend enough time browning them. And so you're eating this giant plate of postage stamp size onions, and it's horrifying.
Lies, Ting Tong. Lies.
Well, what do I do that makes you go crazy? in the culinary
you're
world.
You're too fussy. You use too many pans. You use too many knives. You use too many of everything. And then you don't clean up after yourself.
But at the end, is the food good or not? Are they judging me by how clean the kitchen is or how the food looks and tastes?
Well, sometimes...
Thank you. See, Kevy's up. Kevy's up. Kevy, you would pick me.
Good luck with that, Kevy.
She's ready. She's Team Fausto. Wait a minute. We're supposed to be Team Kevy. So it's
going to be rough. Go to cookingwithdragqueens.com. Pledge today. The sooner we get this project funded, the sooner we'll stop talking about it. Right? And we'll just get right on to
it. Are you kidding? It's like, if it gets funded, we'll talk about it even more.
I mean, well,
like,
you know.
It's a battle royale frosting. Mm. It's going to be a situation where Mark and I might gut each other's throats because we believe I'm ready to fight for, I'm ready to kill my husband to make my queen win. I'm ready to throw him under the bus. I'd be like, girl, what you got to do?
I have a venture card. I can get right on that bus.
I could say I know the opponents, the coach of the opponent. I know how to, you know, sabotage things. And we're going to play dirty, honey. This is not a fair fight. Oh, no, honey. Remember when we said it wasn't a competition? We lied.
Oh, my God. Such a fun show. I want to see
it. Yeah, so cookingwithdragqueens.com, just $1 or $2 or $3, honey. The $3 gets you basically a thank you. It gets you access to all the videos. I think for a little bit more money, you get access to all the photos. And a little bit more money, you get all the videos of all the seasons.
You can get tote bags, t-shirts, aprons.
But the really cool prize, and this is a new one, is we're going to, for $15, which is ridiculously low,
right?
We'll say anything on a recording and either email you the MP3 file or just leave it on your voicemail.
Oh, but yeah.
I mean, we can't do illegal things. We're not be like, I'm going to kill you, fucking bitch, you know. But we'll do anything within reason, and you can either write it out for us. It's a 60 words or a minute, you know, something reasonable, short, and we'll record it and send it to you.
Work.
$15. You can hear my voice. They're probably going to choose Mark, but you can also have me, you know. Or if you want us to ask, like, some of the drag queens to do it, you know, when they're in the town, you can ask. Yeah.
You know? I'll ask. They might say no.
Yeah. They'll be like, fuck
no. They might
not
do it for $15.
They'll be like, $400. But $15 is cheap.
I'm into that.
You know. Kevy, would you do it?
Oh, I would totally do it.
Yeah? Would you be like, I know where your children are, go to school, and I'm going to be stalking them.
Yeah.
And I dress like a clown.
I want to tell you about this guy's terrible Tinder date. So he goes on a Tinder date with this woman, brings her home. She goes to use the bathroom. Okay. And I guess her turd is so big that she doesn't feel like it can flush down. So she goes into the toilet, scoops the turd out, and starts to throw it down the out the window. But it gets caught. Outside the window, like on the ledge or something, kind of stuck there. So she kind of starts crawling out the window from the top to fish the turd out from the window. And then she gets stuck. And so they have to call.
No.
Yes. So they have to call and have the fireman come and rescue her. And she's stuck upside down in this window. Trying to grasp at a piece of feces.
That is fantastic.
Man, Trixie Mattel and Katya's new TV show is outrageous.
This is her actual.
Oh my gosh.
Of her trying to get the poop.
That is art.
Oh my God.
So that's one of those things where it's just like, you know, why didn't she just try and break it up and flush it down? Why would she think flinging the poop out of the window would do anything?
I don't
know.
But that
why
is
was her
so
poop
great.
So large that it couldn't flush?
That's why we.
It is like performance art.
We have a plunger next to the toilet because our, you know, some of our guests like to eat like us, and we like to eat, and sometimes our poops don't go down. And I don't want anybody scooping the poop and getting stuck in a window. Trying to throw the
sometimes
poop out.
The toilet also just doesn't get that terminal velocity, the swoosh, and so it just kind of floats or sits there, or maybe whatever, you know. And it's like it's old plumbing, so you got to make sure it just goes down.
I mean, you know, sometimes when you eat certain foods, some foods are more buoyant, you know, after the fact. Like, you know, you want thick and creamy, like guacamole, pudding, chocolate ice cream. That sinks and goes all the way down the toilet. In fact, I think they actually test toilets by putting stuff like that into
fake
them.
Poop?
Yeah, well, just like, you know, a can of cream corn or guacamole into it or anything. Guacamole.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, wouldn't that be such a cool photo shoot, though?
What's that?
Like, hanging off the side of a building covered with feces? That would be such a cool photo shoot.
That'd be awesome.
I want to do this.
Well, we do. Speaking of guacamole, we do have a new world record
for
the largest serving ever of guacamole. Three tons of guacamole.
That's a lot of stoners.
That's a lot. Yeah. So it's in Jalisco, the state of Jalisco, which is like nearby, you know, Guadalajara is in there. But this is a small town outside of Guadalajara.
Does the article say what ingredients do they use?
They used avocado.
Well, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Which actually, I guess,
they use filler.
Guacamole, I guess, basically means nut sauce, right?
What?
Guacamole is nut sauce. Because avocado is like through testicles, right?
God.
And so guacamole is it means like nut sauce.
Cause it translates from nut sauce. I never thought about that, but I don't think anybody in Mexico or Latin America.
Because mole is sauce, right? And guaca is, from the avocados. And did you know that the avocados probably wouldn't be with us today the way that they are if it weren't for megafauna, like the giant tree sloth that used to be around in prehistoric times?
Really?
They feel that they're responsible for disseminating that avocado seed because they had such a big digestive system. They could eat an avocado and then, you know, walk a couple miles and then poop the avocado seed out, and then we'd have a new avocado plant.
Wow.
And so that's why they have such big seeds, because most seeds, you know, in the animal world are small because animals have to like eat them and then poop them out, and then the plants grow someplace else.
Right. That was some nasty shit, those tree sloths. I'm glad they're extinct.
I'm sure there were giant piles of poop, right?
Oh yeah, honey. It made like Jurassic Park look like a walk in the park.
So it took 600 student chefs and 400 people in the town to come together and to make all of this guacamole. Because I guess Mexico is they import, like, most of our avocados come from them.
Meanwhile,
California.
That's basically like a tourism thing, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, let's make the world's largest pancake, you know, hot fudge sundae.
People get excited for that kind of stuff. I grew up reading like the Guinness Book of World Record, and we're always just like, my brother and I was like, what could we do that could get us in the Guinness Book of World Record?
I was always freaked out about like the photos in them, you know, like the twins, the guy who was morbidly obese, and he was buried in a piano coffin, and he just looked sad. He looked unhappy.
Yeah.
You know, or the world's largest woman, Sandy Allen. There was always photos of her. One time when we were kids, we went to Niagara Falls, New York.
Ooh.
We went over to Canada, to the Canadian side, and went to the Ripley's Believe It or Not Museum. And she was there.
Really?
And she's this tall woman. And she's sitting there and she wears these big shoes and, you know, custom made clothes. And I was like, as an adult later on, I was like, I think she may have been a lesbian. And that was like that. And I heard she was sexually active.
How'd you hear? What do you mean you heard she was sexually active?
It's just like on forums. That's some big pussy, honey. I mean, she was, you know, she was this big, big woman. And she said, I just look for somebody to love.
Aww.
Sandy Allen. She was like a gentle giant.
We'll get it.
And American Horror Story, when they did the circus, the freak show, that tall giant woman, she was based on Sandy Allen.
Amazon Eve,
yeah.
Yes.
But Sandy Allen was the real thing. And I was a kid. I was just like, oh my God, she's going to eat me. You know, when you were like, I was like 10 years old and looking at her, and she was probably like, I don't know, like 8-9 feet tall or something.
Wow.
I gotta Google this while
she was like 7 feet something.
How tall was Sandy? I even remember her name, like 7'7".
Wow.
So she was big, and she just, you know, and she had just this haunting voice, you know, and she put out a book, and, you know, you could have your photo taken with her. And we were like kids, and my father's like, you want to have your photo taken with her? And I'm like, no, I'm scared. Yeah, but she was really nice. Okay. And the museum basically like had her shoes and her clothing, her pajamas, you know.
Did she live at the museum or something?
Something like that, yeah. Like, they had a little, like, cot in the back.
Oh, wow.
They were kind of,
how little was it?
Yeah, well, I mean, that was like a little room for her to live in.
But it's hard for people to have gigantism. They usually don't live very long. It usually kills them, right?
Yeah, basically, so
it's
really,
it's a tough existence.
If you're really tall, even if you're like moderately tall, like 6'5" or above, your lifespan's much shorter because I guess it takes more energy for the blood just to pump around in your body. Mm-hmm. So if you ever like wish you were taller, you have the last laugh because them tall skinny bitches going to be dead and you'll be standing over their coffin going, "Ha! I beat you. I'm still here."
Truth.
You tall skinny bitch.
Oh my gosh.
Speaking of skinny bitches, Ann Coulter's added on Twitter again. You know, it's kind of crazy. Every time we have some kind of natural disaster, people want to blame the gays for it, or people's sinning ways, though God smites people from heaven. That's Old Testament, right? Not New Testament.
There's this meme that's being circulated. It looks like an Old Testament poster. Mm-hmm. Curtis Jensen posted it on his social media. It says, "Fear me, for I am the all-powerful gay, capable of causing earthquakes, volcanoes, floods, hurricanes, tsunamis, plagues, and famine."
Oh, and train wrecks. Like you, girl.
Yes.
So Ann Coulter tweets like, "I don't believe Hurricane Harvey is God's punishment for Houston electing a lesbian mayor, but that's more credible than climate change."
No.
And their lesbian mayor was like, "Darn it, I thought no one knew I had superpowers over weather."
Oh, she's Storm.
Yeah,
she's creating a storm.
Oh my gosh, Leslie Storm.
Isn't he still? Is she still?
And
the
then
mayor?
She got on a reality TV show and then complained she got a bad edit. Fans of Drag Race will get this joke. Everyone else is like,
be like, "What else?
What's
is,
he
what's
talking
happening?
About? About I don't get it. What's that all about?" We love you, Dax.
So you're thinking after you get out of like your graduate studies, you're going to try and get a job in like doing a drag museum. What would you have in a drag museum?
I would definitely want to have stuff that shows basically the process of getting into drag and what goes into being a drag queen.
Lots of drugs and alcohol just laying around.
Oh, the of Coke course, spoons. Everywhere.
You know.
Dirty panties, Will and Belli's tuck tape.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and maybe some
tricks
like,
that have overstayed their welcome.
Yeah.
Bianca Del Rio's several false eyelashes all stuck together.
Yeah, and then of course
this museum's disgusting,
right? But I'm so into it.
But there might be some really cool costumes that people can donate that they don't fit in anymore because, you know, as the queens get older, they get a little bit thick and juicy, and you know,
right? And like,
I'm sure Alexis Michelle would be more than happy to donate most of her clothes.
Yeah.
But, I'm like, did I get that reference right? I'm like, I have to Google it sometimes. I'm like, who am I talking about again?
But no, I think it'd be great to just have some outfits out on display and then maybe not even have all of them on like mannequins behind glass or whatever, but maybe just have like a rack of them on the wall to sift through as if it were someone's actual drag closet.
Have you actually visited like, you know, Trixie Mattel or Kim Chi's apartments?
No.
Yeah, might want to think about that for a minute. We actually filmed it.
Most drag queens are not very orderly people.
Well, they're it might be like the Museum to Gender Nonconforming Pack Rats.
Mm.
You know, and you could have like, this is their sewing, the sewing box with all the threads and I don't know. I think it'd be kind of interesting to see like in terms of curatorial stuff, those big wigs, how you would you like maintain them? Cause they deflate almost immediately.
Well, you just have to, you know, use lots and lots of hairspray and then put them in some kind of vacuum sealed thing so that, the dust doesn't get at them. Right.
I guess.
Well, I don't know. It's fabrics. You need air on them. Don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not a conservator yet.
I'm still in school.
Mark and I went to the Liberace Museum and we got into Liberace's vaults and put on his clothes.
Ooh.
They all smelled like mothballs and formaldehyde.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
And they were like, they wouldn't let us touch them.
But somehow you
They could put them on us because it was for publicity purposes back when we were more famous than we are now. And and they were like, so they had us wear these like latex gloves and hold them. And then they just kind of put, put the cape on top of my shoulders. Yeah. And they were really fucking heavy.
They were definitely. Damn. Well, that's why Liberace didn't care because he was flying in them anyway. So he was held up by a harness for most of that stuff. But it wasn't latex gloves. It was cloth gloves because you don't want your hand acids getting on this fabric.
But Liberace, I guess, cleaned them with formaldehyde. And the fumes from them got into his body and made him sick.
Oh, ouch.
Yeah. Wow. And the things he wore were so heavy that he collapsed, way before. I believe Liberace died of HIV, right?
AIDS,
yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. And so way before he became HIV positive, he was having medical problems as well.
Oh.
And it was part of the consequences, just, being exposed to all these like harsh solvents and cleaning fluids because of the dedication he had to these costumes. Prince, the entertainer, had hip problems because he loved wearing those platform boots. And a lot of drag queens have this problem is that, you're wearing these high heel shoes all the time and the high heels throw your hips out of alignment and it could cause hip problems. Jackie Beat was on the show doing crowdfunding to have a hip replacement surgery.
Oh, wow.
And she got it.
Yeah.
Oh.
So now she can run fast. And now she's doing
splits.
What they do with her old hip?
They donated it to a museum.
To a drag museum. And what did Lady Bunny say? She needed that hip replacement because when she scares people with the way she looks, she can run away so they don't attack her.
You better run fast.
Rare form.
So there's this video blogger named David Pakman. He's great. Does these really amazing podcasts and interviews, mostly about politics. And he does a lot of LGBT news as well. And, for a while he was covering LGBT teen suicide. And so a documentary filmmaker was looking for people to talk about in a documentary about gay teens committing suicide. And I guess they were really lazy about the research they were doing. So they just Googled like gay teen died, committed suicide. And David Pakman's face showed up. Now, David Pakman, I think, what is it? He's like 35-year-old man. And so but he's youthful looking, mm-hmm. And he's not gay and he's still alive. And so they put his picture in this documentary and be like, David Pakman died as a teenager. And he's like, bitch, I'm still here. I'm not, not that there's anything wrong with it. I'm not gay. And I'm hell not a teen. I'm kind of jealous about it, because the worst thing that happened to me is like I think it was like two times ago. I was dressing up in drag. I was shaving my beard off. And as the process of removing the beard, I kind of did different beard styles and photographed them and then posted them as a collage on Instagram.
Oh, fun.
And this blogger was like, women, this is the things you shouldn't do if you want, or men, don't do these things if you want to get laid with women,
Because that's such a huge concern for you.
And I was like, it looks like I'm not getting any pussy. Whoops. You saw it. I mean,
featured in it.
Yeah.
Because I'm behind you, like, looking at you all aghast.
You were like, oh, my God. Why did you shave your head?
Well, you did that because you were getting into drag, right?
Yeah. And so I was just removing all the hair and I was like, let's have some fun.
Yeah. Let's take little photos of each step along the way.
We did. I got that idea from you.
Yeah.
Because you had a beard one time and you were like shaving it off.
Yes.
And do you want to talk about that? Or
you can talk about it. And then shaved it, and then I shaved the mustache, and then I had a little Hitler mustache for a hot second. I'm like, this is a picture that will never see the light of day.
But we took a picture of Mark basically as gay Hitler from the movie musical Producers.
I love the Producers.
Springtime for Hitler in Germany.
Springtime.
Yeah. And so Mark's like, delete that photo.
Do not let that photo No, because it's, you know, it, people, it's, you know, it's funny for us, something for us to do around the house together because we understand each other and we know each other. But to put that out there to a world that doesn't know the context or where that's coming from, it's, you know, why
do
that?
You could be president of the United States.
But, you know, it's like Adolf Hitler. I mean, it's kind of a ridiculous mustache to begin with. But, you know, Hitler definitely ruined it for everyone.
Well, and Charlie Chaplin was wearing, famous for wearing that tiny little mustache for a long time.
Yeah. Right.
And then this crazy dictator came along, and just like Trump, people didn't take Hitler too seriously because he looked and sounded ridiculous.
But it's also, it's like, you know, Trump's now ruined the color orange. Like, nobody wants to wear orange or see orange. It's just like, it's done.
And red M&Ms dropped in sales. Thanks a lot, Valentina.
It wasn't Valentina.
And she hasn't even eaten that. She hasn't even embraced them. I'd be like, my next album's going to be called Red Champagnes and M&Ms. I'm sorry, Champagne and Red M&Ms. I actually like blush champagne. It's quite delicious. If I ever become like one of those really arrogant, famous drag queens, you know, and I have a writer, I'm going to be like, it must be blush and it can't be food colored.
We call it rosé.
Rosé.
Yes.
What kind of like things, if you like were really famous and you wanted to have a rider, what would you like always want to be in your dressing room?
White Castle chicken breast sandwiches with cheese and mayonnaise. Christ.
But they don't have White Castle everywhere in the
United States.
Well, then they need to get them imported.
Brazil.
I guess I'd like a nice meal, like something delicious that I could eat.
I just want a place to sit.
Some drinks.
A hot tub.
Some fireball.
Some sparkling water.
Yeah. Just a hand massage. Madonna, when she was filming Evita, she had in her contract that she would get hand massages in between takes because she was pregnant and she didn't want to stress out. She was worried she would have problems with Lourdes.
Oh, really?
Oh.
Yeah. So she was very stressed out.
I wonder how Madonna's doing now that she's moved to Portugal.
She moved to Portugal?
Yeah, she's working on some projects there, and she's just like, I'm moving to Portugal. And so she, I guess, you know, she's hanging out there now.
I heard she was trying to move to Argentina, and they were like, once is enough.
Well, I don't think, because they don't really like that movie, you know, they don't like that musical.
They were boycotting the movie when it was being made.
They didn't like the musical, because, you know, Evita Perón down there is like, you know, from a couple of different camps, some people absolutely despise her.
Really?
Oh, yeah, because, you know, she was married to a fascist dictator. So? And then other people really revere her, and they didn't want somebody, of course, they didn't like the storyline, they didn't like how she was portrayed as like this,
a sex worker.
It's like, you know, a trampy woman, or played by Madonna, who was considered, you know, to be a slut back in the day, and so they were really out against it.
And so Madonna, I guess, she said, okay, fine, Argentina, and that's why she's in Portugal. Why of all places Portugal? I mean, besides the drugs are legal there, but I don't think that's her motivation
for moving there.
I don't know. It just seems very random.
You know, I think she's working on a project there, and it's, you know, they have great weather, and so it's probably relatively inexpensive. It's one of the cheaper places in Europe to live. Not that Madge is worried about money, because she's got, you know, mansions all over the world, but it's just probably, just, you know, a laid-back atmosphere.
Tell the story about your neighbor, conservative neighbor who was mad about Madonna. She was like, fuck this, I hate Madonna.
I used to be the caretaker of this person who was had special needs and was also a quadriplegic, and he lived in a group home. So I worked in a group home, and this is right after college, and I took care of this one guy, and his mom was, you know, she was a really dear woman, and I really liked her a lot, and she would come and visit a lot because, you know, she raised this kid and had been taking care of him for his entire life. And then it was before Evita came out. It was the early 90s. And somebody mentioned Madonna, and she just got so mad. And she's just like, oh, my God, that woman is such a whore. She would stick money up her twat and set it on fire if she thought she could make more money from it.
And I mean, she probably has.
And I remember I was just like, it was in front of all these other people, and I was just kind of like, oh, my God, I can't believe she's saying this. You know, because I had never heard her speak like that before.
I think
and
the then expression
for her to say
was,
twat.
She would stick a $100 bill in her twat and set it on fire if it would make her any money, is the way I remember it. But
well, I remember. I
it was a $100 bill. Yeah.
Wow.
And set it on fire. Madonna's new music video is, features her setting money on fire inside her vagina.
Oh my gosh.
I hope so.
Only.
You're welcome. For a while, Lady Gaga was like borrowing a lot of ideas that just happened to be brainstormed on the podcast.
Really?
Yeah, it was kind of weird. Like, we were really excited about Lady Gaga because we saw the effect that her success was having on the pop music scene. Mm-hmm. And even drag queens. Like, drag queens were very conservative in some regard. Really? And being weird or eccentric was very much on the fringes, right? And, you know, like, especially if you think, like, season one or two of Drag Race, what a different, you know, palette that was in comparison to what drag is today.
Right.
And so we were just like, hey, we want to see Lady Gaga bald playing a piano covered in hair instead of her head, right? She did that. Then we were like, I want to see Lady Gaga dressed up as Elvira. She did that as well. And then we were like, we want Lady Gaga. And this was the craziest thing. Marlo Thomas, there was a TV special called Free to Be You and Me. It was very much like kind of like, you know, the Trevor Project in the sense. Okay. It was telling kids it's OK to be different. It's OK to be gender nonconforming. This is in the 70s. OK.
Wow.
It was Mel Brooks and Marlo Thomas doing a skit about being babies and not knowing if they were the boy or the girl. This is radical, okay? So this was on television. It was, you know, it was a little controversial at the time. And Marlo Thomas, when she said, you know, teen suicide is depressing to me because I feel like Free to Be You and Me was kind of a failure. It didn't tell kids, it didn't tell their parents, you're free to be whoever you want to be. And we're like, hell no, I grew up with that, and it's certainly, I believe in it in my heart, and it's a message I want to send to all our listeners, and I put my heart and soul and my career into it. That's what Cooking with Drag Queens is all about. Anybody can be a drag queen. It's just a transformation of yourself into a beautiful creature of your own imagination, right? And so we said Lady Gaga is going to do her own Free to Be You and Me TV special. It's going to take place not at Christmas when everybody's a little busy, and it's not going to be Halloween. It's going to be a Thanksgiving special, and she's going to have the ghosts of Christmas past, present, and future, and she's going to shoot popcorn. She's going to feed her audience by shooting popcorn out of her tits, and she's going to wear a dress made out of AIDS ribbons. And Mark and I were just kind of riffing and ranting about all this stuff, and then suddenly that TV special where she made waffles with Art Smith came to be. Yes.
Oh my gosh.
And she wore a giant AIDS ribbon dress. And it was like, whoa, this is crazy. And then on top of that, Mark came up with this prediction about her love life.
People asked me who she should date. And guess I said that she should date, what's his name?
Taylor Kenny.
Taylor,
Jesus,
I forgot his
fucking
name.
Christ.
I used to be so hot for him, and then I stopped being hot. Why did I become not hot for him anymore? I don't know. And then she ended up, he was in her video, and then the next thing you know, they're having a romance. But now I think the romance is over. But he did show up at her event here at Wrigley Field.
I think she split up with him.
I don't think so. Is
he
like
broke
that?
Up? No, I think she broke it off with him. Yeah.
Oh, I don't know what the dealio is.
That's why she wrote that album, Joanne.
Is that right?
She's like, I'm going lezzy now.
Oh.
She's like, come on, eat it out.
Well, she always said she was bi, right?
Right. She's curious.
But did she just do that for the publicity?
You know, I think a lot of these female entertainers, it's like, it's really hard sometimes to, in a very patriarchal world, especially the world of corporate entertainment, they're being told all this, you know, well, you know, there's the board of directors of the record label say that you need to be doing this, you know. And so it's hard to even remember who you are, right? Mm-hmm. It's like Pink wrote about that in a song.
Oh, yeah.
Move to L.A., you know, change your name, forget who you are. And I think so for a lot of them, it's like coming out with their sexuality is a way sort of like to reclaim their identity, even if their sexuality is just, you know, boning hot men. You know, and part of them is like, maybe I'm a little bisexual. It's just because this is my way of saying I love humanity and I'm, well, inviting everybody to be part of my audience, you know, and to be an entertainer is to in some ways be polyamorous.
Yeah, because you got to love them all.
Yeah. Love them all, Captain.
Love each and every one of them.
I mean, you know, it's like, what is it, Dreamgirls? It said, you think a star is a king? Well, wake up, honey. A star is a slave. And I'm like, a star is a slut.
You gotta love everybody. Are you ready for stardom, Say Kevy?
Mm-hmm.
You gotta get working on your slutdom.
Yeah, pre-loop, honey. Food Horny. Where can people check out Food Horny?
You can see the music video on YouTube, or you can download the single on Bandcamp.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Is there ringtones available? And be like, I'm horny for food.
Oh, I should do that.
Be like, feed me. As part of our Cooking with Drag Queens Season 3 Kickstarter, we'll call you on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
$15, honey. There's a limit to it, you know. We don't want to. Mark's like, I'm not going to be spending my days and days and days calling.
I honestly think $15 is
outrageous.
Is cheap for doing that. I was saying you should charge at least $100 for that.
No, but I want to see how creative our audience is.
Yeah,
I want to be entertained by you guys. Mm. We put out these shows. All, you know, weeks and weeks and years and years and years. We want you guys to come up with some crazy shit, put in $15 into our Kickstarter, and tell us what crazy shit to say. Just don't break the law. You know,
it's just hate speech.
Like, I'm not going to say the N-word. I'm not going to say, you know, Hitler did nothing wrong. Don't edit that, please.
Girl.
You know, like, I love Trump. I want Trump for president 8 more years, please. You know, Nancy Reagan really started a conversation about the AIDS crisis.
Mm-hmm.
I won't say shit like that.
Wait. But you just did.
Go check out all the rewards at cookingwithdragqueens.com. Pledge today. The sooner we get this thing funded, the sooner we can start working on the project.
Yeah, and it's going to be a roller coaster ride. We're taking the show in brand new directions. It's going to be a heck of a lot of fun, people. Cookingwithdragqueens.com. Kevy, Sekevy.
Where can people find you on the Instagrams?
Mm-hmm. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, at Say Kevy.
That's Say CEST and then KEVVIE.
Yep, that's me.
Hmm.
And you're on Facebook, Sekevy Drag, and 2 V's in it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And YouTube, Sekevy 2.
Oui.
Très bien.
Yes.
Bonsoir.
Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. Let's get some food horny.
Mm, yes, bitch.
Mm. Bye.